Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You are wanted for a misdemeanor offense in D.C., and you were supposed to show up for court. Well, you didn't. Now a bench warrant has been issued, for your arrest, and now your legal troubles have expanded. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, for the next two weekends, you have a chance to fix that. D.C. is again launching its Safe Surrender program for people who have outstanding misdemeanor bench warrants in the city. But how does that work? Well, joining us to talk about it, our Chief Judge Anita Josie Herring and Associate Judge Juliet McKenna, both from the D.C. Superior Court. If you have a question or a comment about this, if you have a misdemeanor bench warrant, if you suspect that you have one but don't know, or perhaps you know someone who does, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Your Honors, thank you both for joining this conversation.
Thank you for having us.
So let me start with the basic law and order stuff here. For those of us who don't know how this works, what is a misdemeanor bench warrant, Judge Herring?
Well, a bench warrant really is a document that gives law enforcement the ability to arrest a person who has had notice to appear in court but failed to do so. So the point of a bench warrant is to get the individual back into the court system so that the matter involving the underlying case can actually be resolved. So if a person has a bench warrant, they have to fear always that they could be picked up at any point in time by law enforcement. So it's a great opportunity that is Safe Surrender to give people a chance to resolve their cases peacefully.
Judge McKenna, how would I know if I have a misdemeanor bench warrant?
So that's a great question. I think some people know that there may have been a hearing in the past that they have missed and have a suspicion that there may be a bench warrant that's outstanding for their arrest. However, we also have a searchable function online where people can just simply type in their name on the DC Court's website to determine whether or not they have an outstanding bench warrant. Alternatively, there's also a telephone number that people can call to confirm whether or not a warrant is outstanding. And if you don't mind, I'll provide your listeners with that number.
No, please, they help yourself.
Thank you. They can just simply call 879-1373 in order to confirm whether or not there is an outstanding warrant.
That number again, please.
Of course, 202-879-1373.
And you can also find out this information on the website, dccourts.gov. I just looked it up. It's right there. So if you have internet access via phone or computer, that information is there. I do want to drill down a little bit more. What is or what kind of violation would apply to a misdemeanor bench warrant, Judge Herring?
Well, if a person has an outstanding misdemeanor bench warrant, they would face up to 180 days in jail and or a fine of $1,000. That's really the penalty that they're facing simply for failing to come to court. That penalty really doesn't include the underlying offense or the offense that the person failed to appear for. So if they had a misdemeanor, simple offense, for example, the defendant would be facing 180 days and or $1,000 fine for this simple assault, as well as 180 days for the misdemeanor bench warrant if they fail to appear in court. So really a person could be facing up to a year in jail simply for failing to come to court in a misdemeanor case. And that assumes they just have one misdemeanor charge.
What kind of violations are we talking about here?
Well, there are a variety of misdemeanor cases. There are loitering, there's trespassing. There could be unlawful entry. There could be petty theft from a CVS or something like that. There also could be assault cases, but the bulk of these misdemeanor cases involve possessory drug offenses or minor offenses that really don't, in the first instance, result in the person being incarcerated unless the individual just has a history of criminal violations or convictions or failures to appear. And so I think the thinking here really is to help clear out a number of these outstanding warrants that really have been out there in the system for years and years, and many of which came into the system during the period of COVID. And given the length of time that a lot of these warrants are outstanding, it really serves the interest of the community. And really, the both the victim, if there is a victim in the case, and the defendant, to really bring these cases in and resolve them. And you will hear that many of the partners participating, the prosecutor's offices, the Office of Attorney General, and the U.S. Attorney's Office, have reached out to victims to discuss whether the victims were fine with the bench warrants being quashed and the cases being dismissed. But many of these cases are actually property offenses, and no victims are involved.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the D.C. Safe Surrender Program. So if you have a misdemeanor bench warrant, or if you think you have one, or if you know someone who has one, and you're trying to keep the bracelets off, you need to give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, to try to figure out exactly how you may be able to benefit from this program. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810. So, Judge McKenna, here's a question. If I have a misdemeanor bench warrant for, as Judge Herring said, let's say shoplifting at CVS, and then I get pulled over for speeding in the district, could I be arrested for that misdemeanor bench warrant?
So that's a great question, and unfortunately, that's a situation that a lot of people face. You know, I will say that early on in the pandemic, the chief judge had the wisdom, because of the concerns about people being held in custody, of temporarily suspending the enforcement of some categories of misdemeanor bench warrants for low-level nonviolent offenses. As we emerge from the pandemic and as the vaccines increase across the city, eventually that order suspending the enforcement of misdemeanor bench warrants will expire. And at that time, what you asked about is very much a reality. Individuals who are just going about their daily business that might get pulled over for a minor traffic violation, or, you know, who are applying for jobs or otherwise seeking government services, may find that their name is being run and that as a result, the bench warrant comes to light. And so this is really an opportunity for people to take control of the situation, and really from the comfort of their own home, and they can just simply log in remotely. This is an entirely virtual event. And so folks just using a cell phone or a tablet or a laptop, so long as it has a FaceTime or a video capacity, can simply just log in to the event in order to resolve that warrant without any concern, without any risk that they would be taken into custody if the only thing that is outstanding is, in fact, a misdemeanor warrant.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the district's safe surrender program for people who have outstanding misdemeanor bench warrants in the city. How does it work? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let's go to Mary. Mary calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Mary. What's on your mind?
I was wondering that if somebody had a bench warrant or they was prosecuted, just say that they was prosecuted about the issue of attacking somebody, and then they threw it off about them having a mental illness or something like that, and then they sent them to the specialist or whatever, and they were saying that they wasn't mentally ill. So the person that they did this to was not notified. So how do that work that way?
Either one of the judges try to tackle that question. That is a tad bit complex, but please help yourselves.
Well, sure.
Judge McKenna, I think she can tackle this one. Judge McKenna?
Okay. Sure, of course. So, you know, one thing that I will say is that certainly any person who's turning themselves in on a bench warrant, taking responsibility for a missed court hearing, is going to receive favorable consideration from the court, from the prosecuting agencies. And so certainly I think the court will be open to hearing from individuals about why it is that they may have missed that date, including the fact that they were unaware that they had an outstanding court hearing. But that wouldn't just apply to individuals who have mental illness or other extenuating circumstances. Really everyone who stepped up and turns themselves in will receive favorable consideration from both the court and from the prosecution.
Okay. Mary, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the district safe surrender program for people who have any outstanding misdemeanor bench warrants in the city. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. So here's another question. What if you have more than one bench warrant with a misdemeanor violation, Judge Herring? Does that make a difference?
Well, I think the point of getting people in is to really be able to resolve the cases that they've missed the court hearing for. And so this is a very sort of well thought out effort by both the government, prosecutors, the court, and defense attorneys, and sort of really analyzing whether relative to the nature of these offenses as compared to very serious violent crime, you know, it makes sense really just to pile on the time that people are facing and incarcerate them, thereby increasing the jail population unnecessarily, where they're really not a risk to the community. And so the idea is to really use this time that we've had during this COVID period to reassess whether people who have either been under supervision for a very long time without a hearing in a misdemeanor case, or people with outstanding misdemeanor bench warrants for offenses that are definitely property offenses or don't involve a physical victim, you know, whether those cases should be prosecuted given the length of time that has passed. And again, the nature of the cases. In the cases, that is the misdemeanor cases, where there is a victim, for example, in a simple assault matter, the prosecutors, as I mentioned, have already reached out to many victims to get their perspective on whether the victims are interested in having the cases go forward. And the cases that will be dismissed in terms of those types of cases where there's an actual victim because the matter is physical as opposed to a property crime, have already been vetted by the government at the local and federal level to determine eligibility for the case really being diverted from our system through dismissal. And so I think it's just a smart thing to do As you know, we have a lot of cases in our system because jury trials were not able to occur for a large period of time due to the rates of COVID positivity test amongst individuals here in the district. And so really there is a priority that has been set to address the more serious cases and actually rethink why we are looking at incarcerating people.
Judge Herring,
if you'll
allow me to ask you to hold your point, I've got to take a really quick break. But
okay.
Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the Safe Surrender Program in D.C. If you have a misdemeanor bench warrant, if you need information, you can give us a call. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. Andre from D.C., we're going to talk to you in a bit. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the D.C. Safe Surrender Program for residents with misdemeanor bench warrants. My guests are Chief Judge Anita Josie Herring and Associate Judge Juliet McKenna, both from the D.C. Superior Court. They are answering your questions.
Help. Hang up and then dial.
Tonight. So please give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Judge Herring, please continue your point. I think we may have lost Judge Herring. We're going to try to get her back. So let me go to Andre, who is calling from D.C. Andre, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, I checked out that website, and I was pretty sure. And my name's on that list, and I think it's for a vehicle, driving with, I think, a suspended license. I got busted for about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And so I'm ready to step up just so I can get my life in order, get the job, get the real license. But I just need to know what favorable consideration means. I mean, so I want to do the right thing for the right reasons, but kind of spell out the process. And they're talking about I can do it from home.
Yeah. Judge McKenna, can you help him out with an answer? Because I think that is an excellent question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad to hear, Andre, that you're thinking about taking advantage of the event. So to answer your first question, I think about what does favorable consideration mean? You know, the chief made an excellent point that for those individuals who don't turn themselves in voluntarily, they do face potential additional charges and additional penalties. Working collaboratively with the court, I think we have a commitment from our criminal justice partners that they're going to give consideration to people's individual circumstances and really recognize the courage that it took to turn yourself in on a warrant. And so the chances of facing additional charges for an outstanding bench warrant are incredibly rare. In many instances, it may be possible even to resolve your cases on the day that you turn yourself in, depending on the nature of the charges and other factors like your prior criminal history. But really, taking advantage of the opportunity could not be easier. And some of that is because of the lessons we've learned over the course of the last year. And the chief judge had a brilliant inspiration to take this event entirely virtually. So what that means is you don't even need to come down to the courthouse. And so any concerns about being taken into custody are completely removed from the event. You can simply just log into the court's website, and it sounds like the caller's already been on the website. But for those folks who haven't, it's just dccourts.gov/safe-surrender. And on the day of the event, well, we encourage people to register in advance so that you can be given a time certain for your hearing. You can also just log in on the day of the event, and you will first speak with a pretrial services representative who will just confirm your identity and confirm the outstanding warrant. There are going to be defense attorneys who are also participating remotely in the event. And so individuals will have an opportunity to consult with an attorney before even appearing before the judge. But all of that will take place remotely. I will be handling some cases on the second weekend, and I'll also be doing it from my home. And so, you know, we just want to make it as simple as possible for people to step up and do the right thing.
For to piggyback on Andre's situation, and each situation is different, but Andre, is it safe to assume that you have no other violations to be concerned about?
No, that's it. That's it.
Okay.
And, you know, about the, you know, am I going it? And when all this kicks off, am I all by myself, or am I bringing that lawyer that I talked to beforehand? Because I don't want to put myself in a jam if I don't have to.
Judge McKenna.
Actually, I think.
Or Judge either one.
Judge McKenna and the judges in the criminal division have done really an excellent job in really lining up defense attorneys who will talk privately with, and I think Judge McKenna mentioned this, each person virtually in a chat room, for example, or in a locked room, I should say, but it's online. So an attorney will have a one-on-one conversation with each person who registers or otherwise decides to turn themselves in before that individual is presented to the court. That way, the defense attorney will give advice to an individual with an outstanding warrant before they officially turn themselves in. If the individual decides to go forward with it, of course, the attorneys are lined up and there to help. This is a coordinated effort, not just with people from the law enforcement side or the prosecutorial side. It's a collaboration with the Public Defender Service, the Superior Court Trial Lawyers Association, pretrial services agency, the Court Services and Offender Rehabilitation Agency, and a number of other stakeholders. In fact, the Court Services and Offender Rehabilitation Agency will have two sites, one at 633 Indiana Avenue Northwest and one on MLK Avenue in Southeast, where people can go who do not have access to Wi-Fi or computer to use computers at the CSOSA or the Court Services and Offender Rehabilitation sites to get online and participate in this process. As Judge McKenna mentioned, this really spares individuals who have outstanding misdemeanor warrants from really having to worry that they could be locked up at any time if stopped by the police, whether on foot or in a car. So this is a real positive thing.
Mm-hmm. Andre, good luck to you. And thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about D.C.'s Safe Surrender Program for misdemeanor bench warrants. If you have one, if you think you have one, or if you know someone who may have one, you can give us a call to get your questions answered. This is a two-weekend event this coming weekend, July 9th and 10th, and the following weekend, July 16th and 17th, and it's all virtual. So, Judge McKenna, here's a question. If I'm a Maryland resident, but if I have a misdemeanor bench warrant in the district, does that change things for me at all, or am I treated just as anyone else because my violation is in or was in the district?
So anyone who has an outstanding bench warrant that was issued in the District of Columbia is eligible for participation. And so Maryland residents with D.C. misdemeanor bench warrants are equally eligible to apply. The same would apply for our Virginia defendants and anyone, you know, from across the country who may have incurred a misdemeanor bench warrant in the District of Columbia.
Okay. Earlier, one of you mentioned that some of the penalties can be as much as 180 days and $1,000, $1,000 fine. If we're doing this virtually and it is decided that I may have to spend some time behind bars for my violation, how does that work?
Well, I think the idea of safe surrender really is not to take people into custody unless it's absolutely necessary. And so I don't think people should come to safe surrender really trying to even really develop an explanation for why they missed a court proceeding, because there's already been agreement that if people show up, everybody wants them from all sides of the criminal justice sector to be released and to have the motion quashed and or their case dismissed. And so when we say favorable treatment, we really do mean favorable treatment with an eye towards releasing people, quashing those warrants, and setting next court dates for individuals who need a subsequent court date because the case is not going to be resolved that day. For example, if someone turns themselves in on a bench warrant and the government has not been able to reach the victim in the case, and it is a case involving a victim, the case may be set really within 2 weeks to a later court date to give an opportunity for the case to get back on track. Remember, the cases are not going to disappear until they're resolved. And so this is a way of peacefully resolving outstanding bench warrants, either completely or at least getting rescheduled court dates in the event that the cases are not going to be outright dismissed. And so people really shouldn't be worried that they're not going to get favorable treatment, because that's really the key to this, is to bring people in and get these cases out of the system to the extent possible.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Darius, calling from D.C. Darius, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you so much, first of all, for having this topic of discussion.
Sure.
I had gotten pulled over, actually, in December, right before the pandemic, for dead tags. Now, ironically, I had the tags and the sticker on me. I just didn't change them at the time, and I got pulled over. I never got a court date. Never got the but I did get the ticket. So I never got the court date. So I never had a failure to appear in court. I just got the fine of how much I owe. I didn't pay that because I didn't want to, because I had, once it was rectified, I just didn't have the, in other words, I just didn't do the due process of changing the tags over. So I just wanted to know if I have a bench warrant, is that it concludes a bench warrant? Is that grounds for a bench warrant as well? Because I never got a court date. I just got the fine. So, but I'm assuming if they charged me, and I'm assuming it was a failure to appear as well.
Judge McKenna, do you want to tackle that one?
So I would certainly encourage the caller just to confirm that there's no outstanding bench warrant by, again, going on the court's website and just typing in your name, sir, just to confirm that there is no outstanding warrant. It sounds like what is being described is a situation where it may be, a DMV violation, and there may be outstanding fines that need to be satisfied, that I would just encourage them to call to double check that they don't have an outstanding warrant. There's also information that's available on the court's website about how to contact the Public Defender Service, as well as a member of our Criminal Justice Act Defense Bar. And so if the caller is interested in just confirming that with an attorney, they can certainly utilize those numbers to just get further advice about how to proceed.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so very much.
Darius, thank you so much. You mentioned something about this, Judge Herring. If I could ask you a little bit more about this, since you do have a broad view of this process. What impact has the pandemic had on cases such as misdemeanor bench warrants and the like, on how you move through this, you know, the trial process?
Well, I just think in light of the overcrowding in the jails and prisons that really occurred all across the country because the courts were not able to move the cases forward, and the attorneys in the cases were not participating in the proceeding because of COVID, and the numbers were very high. That is, the COVID positive test numbers were really high. We have really had to be thoughtful about what our priorities are as criminal justice partners. And again, we've collaborated to really determine that the most serious cases obviously have to be prioritized for incarceration, and that cases that are less serious, particularly those cases where people have been awaiting a court date in a misdemeanor matter for months and months and months, and sometimes they may have a bench warrant because they failed to appear, but maybe the case started much earlier during the pandemic. You know, those cases are really not high priorities for incarceration. And I think we have lapsed into a mindset of having incarceration as a penalty for everything. And I think we are at a point in time, really, in our society where people on all sides are looking at ways to more humanely handle cases that don't present issues involving safety to the community or a particular person. In cases where there is a risk of danger to the community or a particular individual, the stakeholders, some of them may take a completely different view. But these cases, by and large, are not the most serious cases, and we have a duty in our system to resolve them. And I do think it's in part a mindset. We've been handling these matters in a certain way for many years, and really the pandemic has given us an opportunity to rethink how we administer justice. And this is an instance where everyone on all sides agree that it's in everyone's interest to really get some of these minor cases out of the system and allow people really to move forward with their lives.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Wanda calling from D.C. Wanda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'm calling. My daughter has someone stole her identity. So when she get pulled over, I know they said that she has a warrant out for her arrest. Every time she goes down and they look at the picture, it's the wrong picture of the person that took her identity. And it's not her. Someone stole her identity. What can my daughter do to get this off? We have been to the courts out here in Maryland and where they tell us to go to, and they said we have to get a lawyer and all. And all they can do is look at a picture and see that it's not my daughter.
Judge McKenna, any thoughts about that?
So I'm certainly so sorry to hear that. I think this would be an opportunity to reach out either to the Public Defender Service, and again, their contact information is available on the court's website, or to the member of the defense bar affiliated with the court to seek their guidance and assistance in next steps about how your daughter can go about getting that situation resolved.
Wanda, you mentioned Maryland. Why Maryland?
Yeah. Well, it's just, if she gets pulled over in Virginia, they say she has a warrant out. Well, I think that's where it happened at in Maryland.
I see. So
yeah.
So maybe the first step, because this conversation is specifically for someone who has a misdemeanor bench warrant in the District of Columbia. And so this is less about whether you are a resident of the District of Columbia and more about whether or not the violation or offense has taken place in the District of Columbia and is under the purview of the D.C. Superior Court. And so let's first suggest that your daughter go to dccourts.gov and see if there is a bench warrant for your daughter in the District of Columbia, because if there isn't, this would not be applicable to her.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. Thank you so much. Wanda. I appreciate your phone call. So here's another question that is related to the process. So if let's take, you know, the gentleman who called in earlier, and he was stopped for driving with a suspended license. If he goes through this process, will, and let us say that this case is dismissed and he's fine and he gets to get his license again, Judge Herring, will this violation remain on a record for him, or will there be no record of this violation?
The court systems in general maintain records of arrest and charges of individuals and convictions so that the court can examine if the person reoffends, whether they've had previous contact with the court, and can judge really whether releasing the person again is in the interest of the community or whether they present a danger to others. And so, yes, we maintain records. We're a court of records. There are procedures by which people can file motions to seal their arrest records, and there are various laws that have been passed in various states, but certainly here in the district by the D.C. City Council, setting out the requirements for sealing so that that information does not show up on a person's record in a criminal history search. And so the individuals who are concerned about having arrest and convictions on their record for matters that have been resolved should consult with a defense attorney in the District of Columbia. We have the Superior Court Trial Lawyers Association lawyers that represent indigent people charged with crimes here in D.C., and we have the D.C. Public Defender Service, and their duty day or their phone number for getting a person who is charged with answering questions about criminal law issues for members of the public is 628-1200. And so if people have concerns about arrest histories or conviction histories showing up in their background searches, they should call the D.C. Public Defender Service at 628-1200 to have a lawyer talk through their particular situation with them and do a record search so that they can assist them in filing a motion or otherwise give them advice.
Mm-hmm. Judge McKenna, how do I know if I actually qualify? Are there circumstances under which I may not qualify for safe surrender?
Sure. So I do want to emphasize that the event is limited just for folks with misdemeanor bench warrants. So for those individuals who believe that they may have a felony warrant for a more serious offense, I would encourage them to contact their attorney to seek further advice, or to consider turning themselves in to their local police station or to the courthouse directly. The individuals who may have outstanding arrest warrants are also not eligible for participation in the event. So again, because we are conducting this entirely virtually, the decision was made to commence just with the misdemeanor warrants only. You know, depending on the success of the event, we're certainly open to then expanding that in future occasions to the felony warrants. But this particular event, it would have to be an individual with only misdemeanor warrants to participate.
So to that point, let's say that I do qualify with my shoplifting, you know, a Reese's cup from CVS. Then if I miss this event this weekend and next weekend, what options might I have if that is the only violation that I have, but I've missed this particular event? What are my chances that I could still get consideration for the same kind of treatment that this program offers after the program?
So that's a great question. And I think even in normal operations on any given day, we would have people who would voluntarily turn themselves in to the courthouse. And obviously for the health and safety of everyone in our community, while we're trying to keep the numbers of individuals who are coming into the courthouse low, there is still the opportunity for individuals to self-report to the courthouse in order to resolve their outstanding warrants. Certainly, if an individual still has the contact information for their attorney, I would encourage them to contact their attorney first, who would be able to then contact the court and actually schedule, in essence, an appointment for them to be able to turn themselves in. So certainly those individuals who take advantage of this particular event are going to receive the most favorable consideration. But I would say that, you know, anytime an individual really steps up and takes responsibility, that's always a factor that the court is going to take into consideration in determining how to move forward.
Mm. And speaking of that, so Judge Herring, you know the saying, you know, he who is his own lawyer has a fool for a client, even for the most minor of violations. How do I know that I need a lawyer and that I can't handle this on my own?
Well, you don't have to handle it on your own because the court has planned and secured a number of defense lawyers who will be available online, as I mentioned earlier, to have a private conversation with a person who believes they have an outstanding bench warrant. Of course, you can go online and check on the DC.gov website, /safe surrender, to see if your name appears on the list by typing in your name. But you don't have to worry about dealing with this without a lawyer. And it's a rare opportunity when the judges, Judge McKenna and I, would be out promoting a program such as this, except that we have gotten all of the stakeholders involved or committed to, and I would say the criminal division did, giving favorable treatment to individuals who turn themselves in. If an individual waits past the time of the safe surrender event on these 2 weekends that are upcoming, to turn themselves in, they may not get their cases dismissed. They may not get released. They could get released, but it's more of a gamble. They could get arrested if they're stopped in a car, and they could be incarcerated when they don't have to if they would just sign up for safe surrender for this weekend and next weekend. Online or otherwise present themselves to one of the 2 sites that the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency have designated to have others assist them in peacefully resolving matters so that they don't really have to live in fear.
Judge McKenna, I have about 30 seconds left. I'll let you have a final word on this process.
Sure. So I would just, again, encourage folks to turn themselves in. I mean, an outstanding misdemeanor bench warrant may be impacting your ability to apply for a job or to get a driver's license or even just to request assistance from the police. But it doesn't just impact you. For people who have outstanding bench warrants, it really impacts their entire family, spouses, partners, kids, parents. worry about a loved one having a pending warrant and what might happen when they are ultimately arrested. So I would just encourage everyone, if they're not prepared to do it for themselves, to think about their family and really consider taking advantage of this safe surrender opportunity.
Great point. Chief Judge Anita Josie Herring and Associate Judge Juliet McKenna with the D.C. Superior Court. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
You're welcome.
And that way we can hopefully keep people from doing time. That is,
thanks so much.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, July 8th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard. Good night.